Man, I enjoy when others use their giftedness in the local church. Don't you enjoy that? Man, I just can't sing like that. And I'm not envious about that. And I believe God can do a miracle if I really trust Him. And so I can have a voice like that. I just can't do it. Not that God can't do it through me. I just sit there and I think, man, I'm so glad that we have some choice people with some unique giftedness that can lead us to the throne. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad you're not singing up there, right? And somebody else is. Man, this is awesome. It's amazing. You know, a couple of months ago when I was preaching, I told you, a snowflake is beautiful. It's really beautiful. Just Google the first snowflake. Someone in Vermont or Maine have some unique pictures. But when snowflakes get together, man, they can stop traffic. Right? Yeah, when they get together, they can do some damage. Just like how these people use their giftedness and talents that God has blessed them with. Imagine if we come to the altar and say, well, John say, I will come with my piano skills, my voice, my guitar, my trumpet, whatever you can do, and you come with your one gift or two and bring it to the altar and said, God, I want to compliment someone like John. I want to compliment somebody else with what they do in the church. I tell you what, if you and I all find out what our giftedness is in whatever area, we can stop some traffic. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. I mean, when that happens, if you have a traffic jam, Chef Bob will whoop up a good meal and you'll never go hungry. It's just him using his spiritual giftedness to serve us. Going the extra mile in serving others have no traffic. Always remember that. In serving the local church, going an extra mile have no traffic. It's getting you to start that extra mile that has traffic. And sometimes if you don't persevere to come to that point, you will not know the joy of going the extra mile. Traveling the extra mile in serving someone, it just has no traffic. This morning we talked about serving. I'm just going to do a talk today. We had a conference called a Sharper Conference with all the church leaders and teams from the area came together. And we talked about what it is to serve, to be a servant and to equip teams to be serving. And I just want to give that talk today, and I pray, man, I'm just a weak vessel. I'm struggling to live for Jesus every day just as much as you are. But I want to wake up every morning and say, Jesus, I want to be a little more closer to you today than I was yesterday. That's just what it's about. I get excited to come to church. One of the guys came to me in this morning and said, Sean, can we have a little more enthusiasm when you... I'm like, okay, I'll try. Man, I just think we have a fantastic opportunity. And I made this statement, no matter which age group you are serving, whether you are serving with kids, you are just not a babysitter, or you're not entertaining, or you're not distracting kids, you are equipping the present and the next generation to be the effective church. And when you say yes to serving, you are partnering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. You are just partnering with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that God will use you. If you claim today that you are purchased and you belong to Jesus, then your schedule belongs to Jesus. Our schedule. Then your calendar belongs to Jesus. Busyness is not a badge of honor. It's a sign of lack of priorities. You know, many people come to you and say, man, I wish I had the time to do that. No, you do. You do have the time. You just don't have that priority. So today we're going to talk about what it is to serve in the local church. How can we bring back the joy? What are some clear communication? What are some clarity points that we can make so we can effectively serve the local church? You and I will always be busy, but we need to prioritize how we want to live our lives. We'll live our lives for ourselves or live the lives for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the Bible teaches us about neighbors, and you know, neighbors can be bothersome, but neighbors help us to get closer to Jesus. Because the word says, if you love the Lord, the God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, love your neighbor likewise. So what your neighbor is presenting you the opportunity to love Jesus. Whether in your neighborhood, whether it's church, they're teaching us how to love Jesus. An old French captain made this statement. It's on the screen. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. So today I'm going to type, just paint a picture for you, what that endless sea looks like if you are in a local church. You will sell yourself short. This captain will sell himself short if you say, hey, you know what, can you bring some wood? Can you bring some nails? He'll look at me, he'll say, okay, pass you, because I'm just useless when it comes to that. And he'll bypass you. But if he took me and he took you to the ocean and he asked, what would it take, you and I, to put our resources together to sail this endless sea, what would it take? I will go home and bring something with me that I can use excitingly to be a part of this process so I can do that. At the local church, the greater picture is this. When someone comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's nowhere else Scripture tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice. Just when that one person, when that one person walks through the waters of baptism and you and I get to be a part of that, that's the endless immensity of sailing the ocean. If that does not excite us, we need to ask Jesus to do a better job. But the greatest thing that you and I are called for when we move from darkness into light, if you and I can put all the resources together just so someone can move from darkness into the marvelous light. That's the endless picture where that family now can go back home and pray together. When that mom can go back home, get the kids around a dinner table and teach them, today, kids, I came to know Jesus, and we need to say thank you to this Jesus for what we have on our table and be grateful. Amen? When you start seeing the gospel take root in someone's life, they take it to their families. When that takes root into their families, they take it into the neighborhoods. When that takes root into the neighborhoods, take it into the community, into the towns, into the cities, into the counties, into the state, into the country, into the world. Don't you want to be a part of something like that? So whatever God has given you, bring it to the altar and say, this is what I have, and I want to bring my calendar to you, and I want to say, you know what, I want to give 1 hour a week to be equipped and to serve. 1 hour a week, that's 4 hours a month. God is asking you to give. Times 12? What, 48? I'm bad in math. John looking like he's bad in math too, so. 48 hours. Brian, 48 hours? Imagine this. You are telling God who gave you life, I'll give you 2 days of my life a year to serve you. I failed math, but I think that's bad. Imagine you go cut a deal with Jesus and say, Jesus, you gave your life for me. I can only afford to give you 1 hour a week. I'll give you 2 days every year for you. And I'm being generous with 1 hour a week. Right? So when we talk about, I'm just so busy. No, it's just a lack of priorities. And I'm not saying you now you need to go change your entire family lifestyle and put a tent in the church foyer and everyone walks and you need to greet them. No, don't do that. You need to pay rent if you do that. Okay? What I'm saying is this. We need to get together and make it a priority to put some time intentionally so we can be used for God. We have students walking all around our campus. We have children all over here. They are looking at us. Point me to this Jesus that you all sing about in the big church. So we're talking about what if we want to build a ship. And this guy said, I will not tell him what to bring. I'll tell him, go home and bring what the Lord has blessed you with. Come back and we will do it. Man, this past week we had Christian Chefs International. Oh, Lord, I put on 3 pounds right there. I'll tell you, that was the best $4 I ever spent on that Wednesday night dinner. All right? And if you're a staff member, it's $2, so that's a discount there. Man, it was amazing. It's amazing how the chefs are using their gifts and talents to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's amazing. So that's what we're doing. And I want to encourage you that at Olive Baptist Church, we want to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. We are devoted to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes for us to do that, that's the end goal. That's the end goal. We want people to come to know who Jesus is. We want to help them to grow in who their newfound Savior is. And we want to put them in a Xerox machine. Let's go. Come on. That's what we want to do. We want to multiply and multiply and multiply. That's what it's all about. And so the greater vision is that if you want to be a successful church, and I told you, we need to be a sending capacity church. Do you know how I came to know Jesus Christ? Because IMB missionaries came to South Africa. Led my grandmother to the Lord, led my parents to the Lord, and I'm the third generation. I didn't like them because they took away my summer vacation. They brought something called VBS to Africa. I don't like that, but hey, wrapped in that VBS was Jesus Christ. So be a part of this. So when we're talking about casting a vision, let me share with you a few points. And I know that this is our A club right here. If you come to Sunday evening service, man, you're faithful. All right? But let us point some points out what it is to be involved in vision casting. You see, volunteers don't want to fill holes. They want to make a difference. You know, some people come and tell you, hey, can you just come help me just to fill a hole for a week? People don't want to invest their life in filling holes. They want to invest their life in making a difference. So you are looking for difference makers. You're looking for people who want to invest their life. So don't talk to volunteers, hey, can you help me fill a hole? What you're telling him, you're not important because when I get the right person here, I'll kick you out. Man, this morning I felt the heaviness of a lot of discouragement or a lot of tiredness, weariness. And someone sent me an email, said, you know what, I just feel like the trellis. I just feel like the trellis. I'm just overburdened. I'm tired. I'm losing my joy. Well, I'm going to tell you, my friend, you are making a difference for the kingdom of God. But the biggest difference you can make is take some time and rest. Get some people around you to help you through that. You know, when we look at vision casting, and if you're a leader here today, number one, when you're casting a vision, don't cast a vision that is too small. Don't cast a vision that is too small. When you cast a vision to a volunteer, to someone who you want to join your team, that vision that you cast should scare them. It's like, what? Can we actually do that? Let me think about it. If anyone you ask, hey, can you serve? Yeah, sure. They're the first ones to drop out. I like when I ask somebody, hey, can you help me do this? Like I was planting a church. I ask people to move from one city to the other. They're like, whoa, Sean, you mean to sell my house and move? Yes. Okay, let me think about it. Let me pray. I like that kind of response. Because what Jesus told us, go into all the world and make disciples, that's a big, big vision right there. He said, take this gospel now and go change the world. By the way, there's some people coming out to kill you. But I'll be with you, but go. Acts 1:8, and you'll receive power. By the way, going back to Jerusalem, the same place where they killed me, you'll receive power in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Verse number 10, 12, what happens? Goodbye, he's gone in a cloud. Don't cast a vision that is too small. Your vision, if you're talking about children ministry, your vision should be gone way outside the classroom. What if this class that we have for the next 16 weeks God raises some strong Christ followers, and we can disciple them. They go off to school, go off to college, and they can be missionaries one day. Man, sign me up. I'll give you 16 weeks so that we can send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world, and it'll start in this classroom. But if you say, well, can you come and help me teach the VBS? Kids are just so rowdy, or in a small room. You know, chances are, yeah, you telling them it's going to be a terrible job, but please sign up. Right? Your vision should scare someone. Your vision should be big. Number two, sometimes when we talk about this great vision of having people come to know Jesus Christ, it's too vague or blurry. It's too vague. By that I mean, if you cannot share the vision of our church on a 30-second elevator ride or paint a vivid picture of the future of Olive Baptist Church, you think you'll actually become a reality? I was seated in on a committee that was looking for a new executive director. So we had an exit interview for the old executive director. So I asked him the question, what's the vision statement of this organization? He said, give me a minute. I said, seriously? He went back 15 minutes later, came with a piece of paper. He said, this is our vision. I'm like, that's why they're looking for a new executive director right there. If you can't share whatever vision God has given you and given our church in 30 seconds elevator ride, chances are that your vision will not become a reality. You need to get excited about the vision. You need to be excited and you need to be clarity. This is what we're all about. We are all about making a disciples. What is a disciple? Someone who follows Jesus Christ. What is discipleship? Helping others follow Jesus Christ. So what say you and I commit 16 weeks to help these little children to come to know Jesus Christ and follow him every day? Get workers. They come and say, hey, you know what? I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this. Number three, when you're casting a vision, it's too immeasurable. It's too immeasurable. When I went, when I was working for NAM, we used to have, there's a TV show, if I have $100,000 to invest in your company. What show is that? Shark Tank. And I was a judge on Shark Tank. Man, that was pretty cool. So all these church planters, they have 15 minutes to come pitch an idea. And I would say, okay, I'm at North American Mission Board. I want to invest $100,000 in your church plant. You tell me why. Man, they'll pitch this entire thing out. And I'll tell you, some people want to go to the moon. I'm like, dude, plant a church. I know you want the $100,000, right? They have such a huge vision, but it's so far away from the ground. Get a vision. When you are leading a team, when you are leading a ministry team, get a vision that you can measure that vision and how you are improving. If a vision is not measured, you will not know how to improve and evaluate on your journey. So you have mileposts to reach that vision. And on your mileposts, you celebrate, you celebrate, you celebrate, you celebrate. And that's how you keep the momentum going. The reason why I'm talking about this is because we're talking about serving. And it's sad that every time we say, man, we need volunteers, we need volunteers, we need volunteers. I'm like, seriously? We need to be more creative in communicating to our people what the greater goal is of Olive Baptist Church. To make disciples. Last week we had Dylan Hart come and share. And I told Dylan, hey, now you're a rock star, buddy. I mean, everyone knows you now. But he came and shared, and just to hear the young man's story of how God has been working in his life, it is just amazing. What Dylan didn't share, he meets with an ordinary men group every Thursday morning at the Rock. And men hold him accountable on Bible memory verses. And those three guys getting together and they're studying and it's hard and they're reading scripture together and they're growing. And we can measure in the last 6 months how someone's life has changed. Measure. Sometimes we set a vision so big, it's just so paralyzing. I heard the word burnout today. more than I ever heard in my 14 months at Olive. So many people came and say, Sean, thank you for talking about this. I'm just so close to burnout. Because this vision, if you don't rest and so on, it'll be paralyzing. Set a timeline. Set segments of your life, of how you want to serve. I want to serve for 16 weeks. I'm going to serve well. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to serve the Awanas, and I'll take a break. Your vision is too small. We need a bigger vision to encourage people to join. I mean, the millennials today give more money to their workplace nonprofit organizations than to a local church. We asked millennials, why do you give more money to the Red Cross in your office block? Why don't you give it to the church? We said, well, the church don't challenge me enough. Because we don't paint the bigger picture of early learning centers. We don't paint the end product of what's happening of your time invested in the classroom. Do you know in our Awana programs, there's more children talking about God in the homes than mommy and daddy talking about God in the homes. And guess who's teaching them? So you have undivided attention. So when you're casting a vision to build a team to do a ministry, or you're building a team, a group to help you, man, set the vision big. What if this child goes home now and tell them about Jesus, tell his dad about Jesus? And so on and so on and so on and so on. Think big. Think big. Because you are part of that plan in that child's life. Let's make vision very easy. These three questions are going to help you of value. When I was recruiting teams at NAM, I'll ask them these three questions. Number one, in speaking and sharing a vision, what compelling problem are we trying to solve at Olive Baptist Church? What compelling problem are we trying to solve? We heard this morning that sin is the greatest problem, and we want to have a clear communication of who Jesus Christ is, so Jesus can be the answer in that person's life, and their sin can be forgiven. And when their sin is forgiven, brokenness is healed, and hurt is healed, and shame is healed. So our compelling problem we are trying to solve is sin. We want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. We want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are trying to solve that because we know that this Jesus Christ solved our problems. Amen? Jesus Christ fixed our families. Jesus Christ fixed our communities. So what problem, number one, we are trying to solve the problem of sin. Number two, what can one person do to help solve that problem? So Olive Baptist Church wants to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of hope. And you ask yourself this question, I'm just a single adult. What can I do to be a part of solving this problem? What can I do? You can create an atmosphere of love, of respect, and peace. When anyone comes on this campus, they can experience your love. I like to remember names. It's like a game that I play in my mind. And one day, about the young mother I was talking about this morning, with her two children, and she came to church because we took a team to do laundry for a couple people in our community. We had a bunch of quarters. That's expensive outreach, by the way. And so we went and we're doing laundry for people. And she came and laundry, and she told me a name. When she came to church 2 weeks' time, I called her by her name. I said, hey, how are you doing? She said, really? Yeah, I mean, to me, it was like, to her, it was a big deal. She came to church a couple months later, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the story is history. But guess why? There was a problem to solve, and me in the laundromat, not at church, in the laundromat, I decided I want to do something to bring the solution to her problem. I remembered her name. That became the start. And by the way, guys, you know, the power is in the seed, not in the sower, right? We don't take credit for it. It's like we don't photobomb Jesus. It's Jesus alone. You know, sometimes we just want to say, well, I want to be a part of it. No, 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 don't photobomb Jesus. Just let Jesus be on his own. All right, we don't take no credit for it. It's Jesus. But what can you do in this church as a single adult or as a student? What can one thing you can do? You can say, you know what, I want to be at the outside door, and I want to open the door with a smile for the second service, and everyone comes in, I want to open the door for them, and I want to smile and tell them, Jesus loves you, we're so glad you came. That's all. Passion City Church, I have a friend there, Aaron Coe, at Passion City Church in Atlanta with Louis Giglio. The greatest volunteers are the door keepers, the door holders, they call them. Because they want people to full smile. Because people are coming with that problem called sin. I want to be a part of bringing the solution. And number three, making vision easy. What is going to be better in the future if we accomplish this vision? What will be better in the future if we accomplish this mission? Understand? The compelling problem we're trying to solve is sin. What can one person to be able to do to solve the problem? And number three, what is going to be better in the future if we accomplish that mission? Well, this young mother has twin girls today. Well, this sorry sinner is standing here today because someone told me about Jesus. Do you remember all the people that was involved in your life that helped you and helped you and helped you to keep on telling you about Jesus, and finally you got it, and you look back and say, all these people were trying to help me all the time. I was just turning a deaf ear to them, but finally I heard what they were trying to say. You know how important it is when someone comes to know Jesus Christ? I'm like, hey, I know that person. Yes. I'm so glad. Yes. When we started Next Steps, the very first week, we had a young man come to join the church. Blake Thaxton, one of our deacons, was at the Next Steps table. And he helped this guy join the church. He came later on, joined the singles ministry with Robert Lloyd here at Olive. Well, a couple of months ago, we commissioned a young man going to the IMB, right? To a country that cannot specify. It was the same guy. Guess what Blake Thaxton said? Hey, I remember that guy when he first came to church and he never knew anyone. I helped him join the church on the iPad. 1 year later, guess what? Dude's going to IMB. He's going to the unreached people group in the world. Guess what Blake said? I'm so glad I talked to him that day. Man, look at him. I was a part of somebody's life. Praise be to God. Man, you can do that too. Just find a place where you want to serve and be found faithful. And don't serve without end. Take a break. Take a sabbatical. It's okay. Don't burn out in serving. God wants a cheerful giver and he wants a cheerful server. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have joy. So when you lead teams, and I know you may be not leading a team here today, but I want to just help you if you are called to lead a team, to do ministry, or you're part of a team that does ministry, get the right people for the right place. Sometimes your frustration is someone was so desperate to have someone in that classroom, or someone was so desperate to have someone open doors, you just don't like doing it, and then you start doing it, and what happens after 3 weeks? You just don't like doing it anymore. So you come late, or you don't show up. What happens? 50 lost people walked through the door, they couldn't find the restrooms, they thought the building was too big, and they were left. Find the right people in the right place. Deacon David came to know the Lord in Norwich, Connecticut. Got to lead him to Christ, and he knew the downtown. So the first time when he came to know Jesus Christ, after a couple of weeks, this is what he told me. He said, Pastor, I would love to drive a church van. We don't have a church van. He said, I'm going to start praying that I'll be a church van driver. By the way, that's one of the most It'll grow you spiritually. Drive a church van. It'll really grow you spiritually. Anyway, so I said, we don't have a church van. Let's pray for a church van, Pastor. I'm like, sure, okay, if you say so. Began to pray. 6 months later, I got a call from someone from Rhode Island. He said, I have a gift for you. Won't you come and meet me? Go and meet him. Church van. I took David with me. Looked at that van. Well, that was an interesting van, by the way. Put some work on it, all right? Brought him back. David washed it, polished it, and so on, so on. Began driving the church van. Nam did a video on it. You can Google it. So I asked him, why do you want to drive the church van? He said, Pastor, when I was on the streets smoking drugs, I was strung out on the streets. All these churches here have buses and church vans. They all drove by. Nobody even had the decency to honk the horn and to ask me whether I needed a ride to church. And I watched them all the time. They saw me every week with my same clothes, and they thought I was dirty and stinky. He said, now that we have a church van, no one will be left behind. So we donated that van, then someone blessed us with a new van. If you go in that van and drop your McDonald's fries and box, he will tell you, excuse me. Yeah, right there. Because that's what he does. He said, I want to now go and pick up people with excellence, with a clean van, and show them, hey, Jesus loves you. So he volunteers to drive a church van. Why? Because no one picked him up before. We found the right person for the right place, and now no one gets left behind. Where can you just plug in the church? Plug in somewhere. Not only getting the right people in the right place if you're leading teams, but ask for what you really need. If you're a team leader, ask people what you really need. Volunteers are looking for a leader who can get the best out of them. If you're looking for soccer players, go and get soccer players. I like to use soccer as an example all the time. But if you're looking for someone to work in a specific ministry, tell them, be clear, clarity. There's many people here today or in church. You're frustrated in serving because no one's telling you exactly what to do. This is a matter of life and death. So if you sit there and you have people in front of you who don't know Jesus Christ and you don't know what to do in your place and how to serve, guess what? So if you are serving, ask for what you really need. I need someone to help us park cars in this entire lot from there to there. And this is the three doors I want them to come in. Exactly. Greet them with a smile, love on them, and when this lot is finished, then please come and join us to serve inside. Clarity. 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 When you're building teams. When we went to Warrington, I took Daniel, Mike Dimmick, and myself, I think Jamie, we drove around Warrington. We're like, Warrington is so different. I mean, there's 10,000 Vietnamese living in Warrington. It is different. There's professional Filipinos living in Warrington. It's different. Then they have the military, and it's very diverse. Last week, Meg Evans, Jamie's wife, she said, last week I looked into Warrington, and I saw Warrington Elementary School basketball team on the stage. I saw service military guys from the base with their uniforms, airmen. I saw socioeconomic, different people in socioeconomic, multicultural. And I just peeped into that sanctuary with 217 people there. 7 people raised their hands to receive Jesus Christ. And I said, you know what, it's so worth it. I told the staff there, do you know why you saw it and why Pastor didn't see it? Because God wants you to be there. It was like Isaiah chapter 9. I just had a peep at heaven and what it's going to be like. And this team, our team, pastoral team at Warrington, tears roll down the eyes when they can see this is what it can be in Warrington. Get the right people to start in. Am I right, Ms. Darlene? Get the right people doing the right thing. I'm just telling you, you'll be so excited that you were there to greet someone with a smile. If you're a team leader here today, just get out of the way of your volunteers. You know, sometimes our volunteers also have some great ideas. They have great ideas. Deacon David told me, I'll always want to correct him to do things. He said, hold on, preacher, you just hold the tail, I'll skin the cat. I never heard that before. He said, you always want to teach us everything, but we know some things too we want to teach you. Just hold the tail, we'll skin the cat. I said, oh, yes, sir, you know. Sometimes our volunteers, do you know who multiplies quicker? Peer-to-peer multiply quicker than leader-to-peer. Peer-to-peer multiply quicker than leader-to-peer. So if you want more volunteers, I don't go ask them. Heath Kelly is right there, he's nodding his head. If I want to have an event for ordinary men, put Heath Kelly on it and he'd get it done. Right, Heath? There's an event coming in 2 weeks. I'll text you. I've got witnesses, yeah? So that's what you do. You just get out of the way and help them do that. Let them bring the ideas. Let them come excite. Now let me tell you, the reason why I'm talking about this is, man, we have some champions here at Olive who faithfully serve. We need to start multiplying those faithful servers. We took 100 people and went to Warrington. Man, they were there. We just didn't know. They were sitting in the pew and they said, we waited for a challenge. Now we're being used in Warrington. Right, Pastor Bill? Man, God is just using them in a mighty way. What I'm saying is this, church, we have a fantastic opportunity to serve. Easter is coming in 3 weeks' time, I think. We're going to have 2,000 guests on campus from last year's numbers. That was last year's numbers. We will have 2,000 people, perhaps 1,000 people never have been on this building before, so they don't know where the bathrooms are. They don't know where to park, etc. You know how cool it'll be when you put on the biggest smile on Easter and make room for them, even if they take your seat on the pew, you give it to them anyways. You know how blessed it'll be? They'll go and say, man, I went to this church and they gave me the seat on the pew. Apparently it's a big deal if you give your seat away. You know how awesome it'll be that you can help someone and their children where to go and register? Why I'm saying this? You will grow in Christ when you start faithfully serving. Serving is not only helping others grow in Christ, serving is helping yourself grow in Christ. So the next time when you are called to serve, you have some great ideas. It's like Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. You come up with ideas, hey, we'll help you. Lowe said, let's build something together. There's always someone competing, right? But we can do it. The deacons can't do it on their own. The staff cannot do it on their own. We talk about equipping. Sometimes we're just so tired. We need some mending. I'll just share a couple points with you today. Thank you for faithfully serving at Olive. We have great opportunities coming in the summer with two campuses. Let's get involved now. VBS times two. Fall festival times two. Outreaches and all that times I don't know how many. We're planning something special. But there's a link. Go to olivebaptist.org/volunteer. And if you're not serving anywhere, go register. Get involved. Get involved in doing something great for the kingdom of God.